If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. The day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of its existence. Nikola Tesla.
Welcome to the Frequency Shifter Show. I'm your host, Corinne Summers, founder of Artisan Pharmacy. In this show, we explore ways to raise the frequency of ourselves, one another, and our planet. We're digging deep into all things metaphysical, from what is frequency to the power of sound, the Schumann resonance, our DNA, Reiki, the energy of water, and beyond, all to shift our minds and bodies back into alignment with richer states of connection, elevated awareness, and maximum human potential. And we're bringing on the global experts and thought leaders to share their wisdom as they let us pick their brains around all these juicy, mysterious topics.
First of all, I don't know who Ricky is and metaphysical. Schumann's Renaissance? I don't even know. What are you talking about? Wait a minute. I need us to take a step back and calm down. What are we even talking about here?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention, I have a co-host. The universe insisted. What can I say? This is Alex Terranova, founder of Dream Mason. He's sort of a newbie to some of this frequency stuff, and he's going to help keep everything balanced, grounded, and relatable.
So this show isn't just for the experts to nerd out on all things metaphysical, but it's an open welcome space for everyone to explore the mysteries of the universe and raise our frequencies together.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Frequency Shifter Show, Season 3. Today, we have a really special guest who is super close to my heart, Laura Saltman. We actually work together at the Wellness Coach app and both contribute content, and we've done a ton of panels together there. So I've had a lot of amazing conversations with this woman, and I'm just so excited to be able to share her incredible wisdom and knowledge with all of you. And she's fun and just super inspiring. So she's a mindfulness meditation and metaphysical teacher, as well as an author. So she's actually written 4 metaphysical books called The Power of the All through a voice channel that's called The All. She's also a television host and TV host. So she's done a lot in Hollywood and used to work as a celebrity healer. So just overall incredible, incredible conversation and incredible healer in the world. To follow
this episode's interesting because we like jump from Hollywood healing to all the way to something like our birth trauma, which I actually found really interesting. The idea that every single birth is traumatic and we all carry some version of that with us. So I'm excited for people to, you know, that the episode is very polarizing as it swings from one edge of the spectrum to the other. I think people are really going to enjoy this episode, her experience, what she brings, and the wisdom that she brings. You ready to jump into this episode?
Let's do it.
All right, Laura. So I have to jump in. You're the first person we've ever had on here that really can speak to this. So I got to go right to it. You have a background in like the entertainment world, the Hollywood, you know, the glitz and the glam and all that. How does one transition from like that world to now like being removed from that world? And yet you still work in that world. What's that like? Was that difficult? Was that hard? What's that like?
Well, if you asked me like 5 or 6 years ago, I would be like, it's so difficult. Nobody wanted to hear what I had to say 5 or 6 years ago. They thought I had gone off the deep end and joined some wacky cult. They didn't know what was going on with me. But in the last, especially the last 2.5 years, I've really seen such a bigger shift into spirituality and recognizing more of our divineness. And so it hasn't been as challenging. And there's this contingent of Hollywood that's always been interested in that stuff. And so they have their ear to it, even if not everybody believes in it. So that's been helpful. And the more I showed up consistently in my messaging, and the more I got rid of my ego and said, I don't care anymore. I know I'm here to serve a purpose and to, you know, be a light for others. I just kept speaking. And then I think finally people were like, oh, this isn't going away. So I've been able to finally make that transition. And the truth is, did some people go away? Absolutely. I lost a lot of my Hollywood people that I worked with at different shows and in different capacities who just dropped me completely. And in the beginning, I was upset, but now I totally recognize and understand it. And the beauty is I've just created a new tribe of people, a new group of people who do understand who I am and what I'm speaking to in the world. And I also think like it's the breadcrumbs of your life. I really truly believe that being an entertainment reporter in Hollywood prior to being a metaphysical teacher now and a meditation teacher helps me help other people because I can sort of bridge the gap between that world and the world of mindfulness, meditation, and metaphysics.
Yes, using your lessons to help others. And that's such a true story for, I think, pretty much anybody on any kind of awakening journey that you lose people along the way. And I think that's a really good message to all of our listeners. Like, don't blame yourself or judge yourself. We all go through that. And it's just a natural part of life. Like, no matter what kind of journey you're on, as we shift, and especially if you're, you know, you're healing, you're growing and opening up new pathways, like you're going to have people that don't resonate with that anymore or don't align with that. But then, like you said, you bring in new people. So what was that like? Did you find that there were people in your life that maybe were kind of like hidden under the radar? You didn't really know were listening or paying attention. And then those relationships also deepened or people just came out of the woodworks. What was that part of the transition like?
I would say it was a little bit of both, actually. There were definitely some people that I had no idea who'd been practicing and studying spirituality for years. And I always find it so funny when people are like, oh, yeah, I've been talking about this for 30 years. And I'm like, really? And I didn't know. And then I definitely found so many new people that I, you know, attracted via intention because I had to set an intention around it. Like it didn't just show up like that. There were times when I was pretty lonely and I thought like, oh my God, there's nobody in the world. So my teacher, who by the way, her last name is Terra Nova, my original teacher, Kim Stanwood Terra Nova, she had taught me about the power of attention. So I was using intentions back then. So I had set intentions to find a new community and find a new tribe of like-minded people. And it took maybe like a month before I found a group of people. And that was really my first step into it. But now I find that as I've been more consistent, and I'm sure you guys can speak to this as well, then you do find me, new people do find you. And they'll just be like, I don't know how I've heard of you, or somebody mentioned you, or I saw you on an app, or I heard your podcast. And then they just kind of find you. They're kind of like your aligned people and just like aligned clients. Like, I believe you really don't have to hustle that hard for clients. You just have to be your authentic self and know that they already exist for you. And then when you get into that energy, that vibration, they'll just show up for you. And that's really what's happened to me, for me.
I love that we're touching on this because I don't think we've done that much of it on this show before, but we've all had this experience. I came from a bar restaurant world, in Los Angeles and New York. And I love that you said wacky cult, because I would hear rumors like, oh, did Alex find Jesus? Right? Some of these like dramatic statements. And it was really, I think people don't realize how hard that is to change, to leave anything that you've been like fully in and go to something else. And it's not those people that said wacky cult or finding Jesus are not bad, right? They're clinging to what they've always known. They don't want to lose their friend, right? So people are trying to make sense of things that they're just not involved in. You know, for me, really leaning into the community that I put myself in, the new community. But I think for people that might be listening to this, if they are stepping into a new world of, let's say, personal growth or spirituality or any, let's say, more conscious living, and they don't have a community, it can feel really hard. How do you suggest they like get supported in those early stages?
Well, the first thing is what I said, which was set that intention. So be intentional with what you want to create. Don't let the world run you. You run the world. So you say, my intention is to find a group of like-minded people, to find my tribe. The minute that you put the ask out, the universe picks up on that and has to bring you what you want in the absence of fear. So once you let it out there, then you're basically just connecting to a thought you already had. So, you know, my belief is, as a metaphysical teacher, that every thought has already been thought. Everything has already happened. Everything that we think is because it is. So if you think, I really want to get in, find a new tribe, then I know it exists for you. And that's why you spoke the words anyway. So it's just
putting that together with intention and then knowing that it exists out for you, out there for you. And then look for the signs and messages that those things are showing up for you. And a lot of times people just aren't paying attention that the intentions that they set either consciously or unconsciously are so showing up in their life. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. You just missed it. You asked for a red car. And then when somebody dropped their keys in front of it, you're like, oh, you dropped your keys and handed it back to that person, not realizing that was your red car. Like, we do that all the time. We just don't either notice the signs or messages. We brush them off as woo-woo or, there's so many words I could come up with for that. So then it's about paying attention to that. And then just like the practical stuff. So now take the action steps, which is there's so many groups now on places like Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and even, places that you aren't thinking of. There are communities. I don't know if you heard of Fireside is a social app. There's other social apps. And I promise you, because I'm seeing them everywhere, there are groups for the spiritually awakening that are continuing to grow and grow and grow and will continue to grow. And the reason I know is I've been only doing this for about 10 years. And when I first started, it was so lonely. It was so lonely. There was nobody around. I couldn't find anybody. But I have seen with each passing year, it grow and grow, especially when the pandemic happened. Because people were looking for community, they were looking for others, and they were looking for the big answers of why. Why is the world such a mess? Why do we all hate each other? Why is this happening to me? And when you ask, the universe is going to bring you the answers. And then so that's when you find the books, and that's when you find the podcasts, and that's when you find the coaches and the healers. And so through that intention, you bring it to yourself while you're going through it.
I love that you just really touched on the action piece, right? That you can put that thing out there, let the universe grab it, and opportunities will be created, but we like swat them away. We won't, right? Somebody invites us to something and we're like, no, or right? Like there's a class that we hear about that we don't take the opportunity to sign up for because it might not be what it is, but we don't know. So I love that piece. Like, yeah, you got to put it out there, but then you do have to do something, right? You just can't sit on the couch and hope that your people find you. They're not going to come kicking down your door and drag you out. Corinne, I know you were on the verge of something.
Well, no, I'm just glad we're talking about this because this is something I actually talk to, I mostly coach other entrepreneurs and energy healers and like always talking about this particular topic. Like you have to also take action. And when things are presented to you, if you don't act on those, then you're pretty much slapping the universe back in the face. Like you have to actually do stuff and put yourself out there for things to manifest, right? You can't just think about it, meditate on it, pray on it, Reiki it, et cetera, and then not put yourself out there in the world. You're not even giving the opportunity chance to manifest. So
yeah, it's inspired action though, because my favorite quote that I say all the time is follow your inspiration, not your desperation. Because then people
aligned action. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like aligned action where you're like, maybe I should do that. Or, oh, I just saw that. Maybe I should take that. Not the like, what can I do? Like, oh, I need to do this and do that. And then you're in hustle and not flow. And then that's when you're putting a wall around yourself. So it's taking that aligned action.
Nail on the head with that hustle, not the hustle. Stick with what feels good and what flows. I wanted to ask you though too about like looking for signs. I always like to pick up other people's brains about this, how to look for signs, how to ask for specific things, and listen to your gut, your intuition, those, the inner wisdom when it comes to taking that aligned action.
Okay, so don't look for signs because if you're looking, you're never going to find. So like allow the signs to just be present within you and notice the signs. So I'm going to change look to the word notice. Notice the signs when they're around you, right?
I meant how to ask.
Yeah, I know.
How to open yourself up. So, yeah.
So okay. So it's like, let's tee it up. So I simply will just ask for a sign, right? So if I'm looking for someone to show me that they're around me, I'll simply say, show me a sign or come in my dreams. Show me a bird, show me a messenger, set an intention around it. And then once we put the ask out, then the universe will align up with us. But then what happens why I want to change look to notice is what I always see people doing is that for me? Is that a sign? I didn't see a sign. I asked my mom to send me a sign and I told her I wanted to see a green butterfly and I looked for it all day long. I've been looking all week and it didn't show up. And they would say, what's wrong? And I said, you've been looking for it. When you look for it, you you are putting that energy of desperation out there. So you have to let it come to you. So I'll give you a quick example. I teach a class called Infinite Awakenings, and I gave the assignment to my class this week that they were going to ask for a sign from four different quadrants. Number one was if they had a mom who had crossed, it was going to be a key. If they had a father who had crossed, it was going to be an elevator. Don't ask me why, but I'm sure there's a reason for that. And it had to come on the back of a truck. And then if they were thinking of an animal who had crossed, they had to see a monkey. And then if they were thinking of a, I think it was something else, a grandparent or something, it was a yellow butterfly. So sure enough, this morning on Clubhouse, one of the people in my classes was like, Laura, guess what I saw yesterday? Oh my God. She's like, monkeys. Totally random, out of nowhere. And I'm like, of course you did. And I said, and were you looking for them? No. She's like, I was just watching and there it was. And I said, that's exactly what you need to do. And that's when the message will show up for you. And as I said earlier, everything that is already existing, right? So if I said to them, I want you to think of a monkey and that's your, you know, your passed over pet. I, in my own infinite intelligence, know that that's a possibility that they're going to see that, which is why the thought of seeing a monkey came to me in the first place, or I decided it was a key or an elevator on the back of a truck, because I know it already exists out there and all they have to do is align to it and it will eventually show up for them. So ask and ye shall receive.
Is there something in here that I think I notice comes up a lot for people that I work with, which is we either can use like attention or desire, but without attachment. Which seems like it's really hard for people, right? Like we find the thing that we're like we really want, or that we have put our attention on, but then we're like gripping, we're trying to control, right? Which I think is what you're like describing. For people that feel that, right? Like it's whether it be the clients they want to attract, or the friends they want to find, or the love that they want, or the money they want, how can they, is there a way to practice like leaning into the desire and the focus without being attached to it?
Well, it is practice. I mean, it is a consistent practice of letting go of the want. So wanting is why we all suffer. There's a great quote that I love from the Buddha that says, all human suffering is caused by wanting things to be different than they are. So the minute that we are in wanting, we are out of alignment with who we are. And so that's often what keeps people stuck. So It's a daily process, I think, because this is how it's worked for me, to let go of that sense of wanting, to truly learn to love what is. And then as you let go of that and you really just like align yourself back to source, back to the universe, back to infinite intelligence, that's how you are able to let go. I'm always going to go back to the word asking. As we ask is as we receive. So if you want to learn to let go, you have to do the modalities that you guys are teaching in the world. We've got to do those things because that's how we're going to let go. I've often described it as like, think of yourself as if you were a big jigsaw puzzle. And when you came here to Earth, all of your puzzle pieces fell off on the floor. And now you're just like this hollow shell. And every time we do meditation, every time we do something that aligns us back to who we are, the pieces of the puzzle get put back in, right? And then they sort of like come up through your chakras. And eventually, if you put enough pieces in the puzzle, they get up into your heart chakra. And once the puzzles are above your heart chakra, you get out of that sense of I want to get, and you shift into I'm in a giving mode. And then from the giving, when we are in a giving sensibility, is how those things begin to come to us. So it takes time. My God, it's taken me, you know, probably 5 or 6 years to get out of the want stage of my life and really start to go into service mode. So, but it can be done. I promise you, it can be done.
Well, I love that you, because I know that for me, like how you directed it in the giving, I noticed that you can't do it with the like, well, if I give, then I'll get, right? Like, because then it's still... But I notice when I've done networking things and I've said, you know what, I'm going to make my intention to just give away as much business as I can, not in my business, but I'm going to be a connector. I'm going to get people linked up and I'm going to purposely look for people to connect. Same thing in love. If I'm going to find ways to love my partner more. I'm just going to be really focused on that. Or money, like I'm gonna go here. This is a fun one. Sometimes if I'm feeling afraid with money, I'll go to all the places I owe money and pay them all, right? Because normally the fear would say, no, we gotta hoard it, we gotta keep it. And I'm like, no, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to actually pay, you know, my electric bill early. I'm going to pay my coach early. I'm going to pay. And as long as I release that I'm getting something back, right? It's almost like giving a gift. You don't expect something in return. What I notice every time is if I'm giving that out, I ultimately will get it back. But I have to release that it's supposed to come back, which is the tricky, right? We got to be really aware of that. Like, I'm actually giving because I want to give and it feels good just to give.
Yeah. Are you giving to get? Or are you giving out of a sense of service mm-hmm. to y'all? Yeah, absolutely. And that you just described it. And the minute that you show up and be like, I'm just going to give and have no attachments, then the things start to flow back. But when you're like going somewhere and you're like trying to hustle, and I see this all over social media in so many places, is people who are serving in order to get. I mean, and you can feel their energy. Like, you know, when they're in like that mode of like, come find me, come be my client, as opposed to like, they're just sharing the information, because when they're not sharing the information, they're like, what do I do in the world? You just feel like, I just got to get this music out of me. And then that's when the people will ultimately flow, or the money, because everything's energy, right? So whatever you're trying to bring forth, knowing that it's just energy, it doesn't matter. It's the same principle, the same law for everything.
That's one of the things I love about podcasting, is it feels like a way that, like, whether it's here or other, but that we get to give mm-hmm. because there's nothing, we're completely unconnected from anything coming from this, right? You have, if we have one listener or millions of listeners, you could be on a podcast that has millions of listeners and no one reach out to you. You could be on a podcast with one listener, and that one listener is the one that you need. And there's, because we're just here like talking and enjoying each other and kind of pulling information out of each other, it's just kind of out there and we don't know what it is. I think it's like, it's my favorite way to like give. It's like, hey, I'm just giving free information. No one has to buy anything from us.
Yeah.
So
you're in service, and that's exactly it. And that's when people will find you, and rather than when you're in the like, oh, I'm just doing this because I want to make money. And I know there's lots of people who do that, and there's no judgment. That's their, where they are in their journey. But you know, it feels, you just know when it feels good, when you're just like jamming and like, I could have conversations. I always say like, let's just do a dinner party and like go out and all we'll talk about is this. It's like, why do I show up every day on Clubhouse and have these conversations? Because, you know, this helps me. To me, this is our own practicing too. When we're here talking, we're reminding each other, because, you know, we forget so often who we are and we need those daily reminders. So we're just here reminding one another. And then something I say, like, you might be like, oh yeah, I never thought of it that way. And then Corinne says something, I'm like, oh, I never thought of that. And then Alex says something, oh, I didn't think of that. So we're all in service to one another. You know, we're all both student and teacher in every relationship we have, no matter what it is, whether it's for 1 minute at, you know, the grocery store, or whether it's for a lifetime, we're all students and teachers to one another.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful, actually, that we all get to sit here and share this wisdom and have these conversations, and that, like, in this big world, we happen to, like, our energies happen to attract each other and bump into each other. And, you know, it's cool to see the ripple effect that can come from these kinds of conversations. I mean, that's the whole, we started doing this just because we wanted to talk about these topics and put them out there in the world and ask our own questions and, you know, interview people and get to the bottom of a lot of this energy stuff and getting a better understanding of, yeah, what is energy? You know, we know we're all made of energy and that like attracts like, and, but let's get into like the depth of all of this and what it really means and how to apply it to our lives. I like thinking too, like going back to something I was thinking when you first started about entertainment, is like thinking about what we're attracting in terms of like what we're surrounding ourselves with. And even in talking about like people, like who are we surrounding ourselves? What are we surrounding ourselves with in our day-to-day lives, from sunup to sundown, on social media, in what we listen to on the news, how much media exposure we give ourselves for like the things that really bring us down. Can you talk about that a little bit, and how, like, any tips that you can share and how you build your own routines and day to day to align yourself with being open to receive those messages and aligning yourself with attracting what you really desire?
Yeah, absolutely. So there, it's interesting. And I'm sure you guys can speak to this too, as you sort of go on this journey, up the ladder of ascension, things that you used to love and do, some of them just fall away, where you don't eat things that you used to, or you don't put things in your body, or you don't have people in your life, or you don't listen to the news. So you know, I started in entertainment. And so I love movies and television. Love. Like I could consume and watch any type of movie and TV and I would be happy. I mean, I got paid for 17 years to literally watch television. Like half of my life was sitting in my office watching screeners for upcoming TV shows to report on them. But now, as I've gone on this journey, I mean, I never put the news on ever. I don't watch entertainment news shows ever. I don't turn them on. And I really feel the energy of that. And to me, there's certain platforms, social media platforms that I just don't use because I don't like the energy. They just don't make me feel good. So I don't use them. Foods that I used to consume. I never really was a meat eater, but every now and again, I would do chicken or turkey. And I got rid of that years ago. And now I'm a completely plant-based eater. And so as you awaken, I feel like you realize that those things aren't good for you energetically. And so you'll put them away. I haven't had a drink and I, not that I was a drinker really to begin with, but like I don't drink simply because I realized that if I had a drink, I wasn't able to channel or be a medium and bring through messages. So I just decided to let all of that go. And it just keeps going and going and going of what I'm shedding. And then like, I was definitely not like nature girl. My brother who has crossed over was like the king of nature, and he lived in Vermont, and he, you know, he shunned humanity basically. Like he didn't want to be around people. He just wanted to be where he was. And because I was like in Hollywood and red carpets and glamorous gowns, I did not understand any of that. And now if you gave me a red carpet versus a cabin in the woods, I would be like, cabin, please. I just want to be in nature. I want to go like sit out on the lake. And so that has shifted in me as well. So the things that you loved at one point will just begin to fall off the more you go back into your true nature. So I would invite everybody to really look at that and look what you're consuming in your life. And are you still watching horror movies? And are you still, do you still have toxic relationships where you know someone's not good for you, but you keep them around? That's just because you're not yet at that layer of ascensioning. But what's beautiful, because I know we talk about this, Corinne, all the time, the word awareness. When you are aware that something doesn't feel good is when you get the choice to decide whether or not this is for me. And that goes for whether it's a human, whether it's media and anything, whether it's an animal, maybe animals that you used to love or not. You had a snake in your house and maybe you decide, you know what? Maybe this isn't for me. So we get to evolve, we get to change, and we get to become more of our true selves.
Absolutely. That was beautifully said. I want to especially hone in on, you said what you noticed that it didn't feel good. That was the line for me too. When, you know, these practices are really starting to work when you're able to tune into that feeling alone of how does this make me feel? I used to love horror movies. And then I started to notice like, the more meditation I got in, you know, the more I did meditation and yoga, the more relaxed I felt, the more my body got used to a relaxed nervous system and being in a calm response and feeling good, feeling happy, feeling at peace, not feeling stressed and anxious. Then I would realize, oh my gosh, all these activities that I used to think that I liked just make me stressed and anxious. What am I doing that for? Or people, like a relationship, you know, I've had some friends that I used to be friends with come back into my life at different points. And then I was like, we've changed. This, you know, doesn't feel good anymore. Or, you know, I haven't watched TV in like 2.5 years, except for occasionally I'll occasionally put something on. But it was weird to watch myself have those shifts because I was like, oh, wow, these were things that, and there was part of me that wanted to hold on to certain things or certain people sometimes just for the sake of it being there. Like, oh, well, it's weird if it's not there because I always did this thing. So I think that's a good message of like just being able to be present with that process with yourself, being, you'd talked a lot about letting go and tuning into the feeling and being willing to let go of what necessarily doesn't serve you.
And turn it off. I mean, you have the choice to turn it off. Like right now I'm watching Black Mirror on Netflix and there's certain episodes that really make me think. And that's how I consume media now is I really look at what lines that I know were sort of channeled by someone or what does the plot, what's the metaphor here? What can we learn from this? But as I'm going through all the episodes, because it's you don't have to watch it in succession, so you can watch different episodes. I found ones that I was like, ugh. I'm like, I do not like this episode and I'm just going to turn it off. So I had to make that choice to say, you know what? There's nothing that I can learn right now from this one. So I'm not going to watch this one and I'm going to consume. And then when I get into that state of like, I know that my nervous system is bothered, it's time to just like turn it off. But I do try to consume it with the observer lens now and sort of see it from the eyes of spirit, you know?
I hear so much of what you're both saying in terms of like, we really have to look for ourselves and like listen to how things feel. We've been doing a lot of Ayurvedic episodes on here. And I just met with someone and she was like, why are you making yourself drink so much water? And I was like, well, because I don't get thirsty. And if I don't make myself drink water, I won't drink water. And she's like, listen to your body. If it wants water, it will tell you it wants water. When it wants sex, it will tell you it wants sex. When it wants food, it will tell you. And I was like, oh man, we're so conditioned to think like, well, I should drink this much water because this is what everyone says. And I think to that point, right, like Corinne, you just talked about horror movies. Like, I love that sensation of like kind of feeling alive from horror movies. But my partner hates it. She like is so sensitive. And so sometimes we're watching something together and I'll literally go, babe, close your eyes. Right. Like, because I know that like it's going to upset her and it doesn't serve her. But like I've chosen that it actually kind of is fun for me. It's like being on a roller coaster. Right. But a roller coaster. And I think it's so smart for us to think about ourselves like, hey, hot yoga doesn't serve everyone, or cycling doesn't serve everyone, or walks don't serve everyone. And really what I'm getting from both of you is like, we have to listen to how we feel. That it's not that alcohol is bad or a horror movie is bad, but are we doing it like unconsciously and not actually listening to, wow, my nervous system is super triggered and I'm not enjoying this, but I'm not realizing that I can do it differently.
Yeah. Or is it a Band-Aid? Is it a Band-Aid for just, overcoming your sadness, your loneliness, whatever's going on within you? And you think that the alcohol, the drug, the TV show, like you think all those things are going to make you feel good. But ultimately, it's a momentary high, whatever it is, whatever comes to you that you should take. And then you go right back to feeling crappy again. And sometimes there can be a high that you have that might last a few months. Like you might be in a new relationship and you've got, you're all loved up. But then when that relationship shifts into you're doing all the same things that you did, and that person or that other person, that partner is doing all the things they did, right? Then you'll find yourself back in unhappiness. So it's about looking at it. Why am I really doing this? Is it a Band-Aid for something, or am I actually enjoying it? And like you're saying, like you love horror movies. It gives you that feeling of like, yeah, joy. Then that's joy. Joy is why we're here. We're here to experience joy. Whereas for me, it's the opposite. I'm like, I cannot. No interest in that.
Totally.
But something that I watch would like probably make you feel like, I would never watch that. That doesn't give me joy. So it's shifting to what gives you joy. And that's one of the reasons we're all here, is to experience joy. People need to be comfortable with being the deciders of their own joy too. Yeah. Like we are joy creating machines, and like we each get to decide like how we create it. So I like that message that you guys were both sharing. Thanks. Sorry, Alex. I think you were about to say something else.
I just want to ask, great. We touched on Hollywood to start, and then, on your website, there's even an icon that's like Hollywood healer. And one of my favorite types of clients is the person that has it all, that like can't seem to get out of their own way. And this is a lot of Hollywood world, because these people have, especially if they've made it, right? If they've had some success, they typically have good money. Their job is what they wanted. You're not typically going into Hollywood because you didn't want to. And we see so much in media about how these people are like, Johnny Depp, Will Smith, those are just like examples that we're seeing in front of us right now, of people that seemingly have it all, but like can't get out of their own way to like live a great life. What do you, as someone who works with these people, what do you notice about them and how are you helping them?
Well, first of all, I was the person that thought that too. When I was in Hollywood, I thought like, if you made it to the A-list, you did have it all and life is great. And you had, nannies and assistants or publicists and agents and managers. But here's the reality of being an A-list star. You have managers and publicists and agents and nannies, and all of those people want something from you. So you are
horrible,
right?
Honestly.
Yeah, you're a commodity to them. That's all you are. You're a commodity. So at that level, maybe you got into the business because you really just wanted to be an actor. And there are definitely some celebrities who tick that box. Like they got into this world because they love the art of acting and or music or whatever their artistry is. And then once they got famous, they realized like fame is not all it's cracked up to be. There's a famous Jim Carrey quote you guys may have heard where he says, "I wish everybody would get rich and famous so they could realize that it's not the answer." And but unfortunately, they don't learn that until they do become the commodity. So it's how do you either decide for a new life that you're not going to be a commodity anymore? And Britney Spears is a perfect example of somebody who became a commodity, who, you know, you see how it unfortunately had affected her mental health. And this is, to me, this is a lesson. People who become famous, many of them chose it sort of in their soul contract to come here to be a source of that for us, to realize that fame is not the answer. It's not truly who we are, right? It's still lessons to be learned. No matter how much money somebody has or what they have, we are all here to learn the lessons. We are all here to evolve back into our natural state of being, which is unconditional love. And so even people who have hundreds of millions of dollars have issues. In fact, I have somebody who is a multi, probably billionaire, who runs an incredibly successful company. And you would think this person has money. I mean, this person, like the tips that they will give you, it's crazy. I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me. And they're unhappy because they're in a state of wanting. So this is what we were talking about earlier about wanting. Just because you have enough, I guarantee you most people who have enough want more. And then those people who have more want more. And we're always in that state of wanting. We never get out of that state of wanting no matter where we are. And so that's where many people struggle. They struggle in the wanting. And then on the flip side, you see, and this is a lot of the people that I work with. You see this all the time. These are people who either had some success and now they're in that lull period and either they're getting a little bit older or they're having issues in their own life. And then they don't know how to be successful again because they've lost it and they feel like it's done. And so they get into that state of despair of I'll never be what I want to be. And that's where most of us sit in our depression. I'll never be what I want to be. So there's a lot of that. So I simply would say that just because somebody has fame or money or looks like they have the perfect life, I promise you they're still struggling. They're still dealing with issues. And I really didn't understand or notice that. I guess I really wasn't paying attention when I wasn't doing this for a living to what people were really struggling with. And it wasn't until I started doing this, and you guys probably can speak to this as well, that you start to see like, wow, everybody's got problems. Everybody's got issues from the top to the bottom. Everybody's got something that they're dealing with.
Yeah, 100%. Alex, your new podcast.
Yeah,
all I can think about right now. Everybody's got something.
No, I'm in the process of putting together a podcast that is all about how, like, to be a guest on this podcast, you have to be successful in some area of your life, right? So you could be a millionaire, or you could have no money and be like have the best marriage ever, but you actually have to do what most people aren't willing to do, which is come on. We'll talk about why you're so successful, but then we're actually going to say, where are you struggling, and look at an area that you're currently dealing with. Everyone wants to talk about the things they've overcome.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot to be willing to come on and say, hey, this is what I'm actually dealing with right now. And I don't know how to get out of it. And just because I have all the money or because my partner loves me so much and we have a great marriage doesn't mean I'm able to do the other thing. And
have something. And
I love it.
We all have, this is actually my one of my biggest like life lessons between like my illness and like being an entrepreneur. And like, there's always these two, like I always have good things going on and I always have bad. I'm a human, right? Like I'm always going to have things that are challenging come up, and I'm always going to have really beautiful things going on in my life. And if you only focus on one or the other, or you only focus on the negative, like you'd miss all the good things. Like it'd be so easy for me to get sucked into any of the bad things for any of us too, right? And then you would miss all of the positives. So
yeah. And going back to energy, it's like, some days there's just a weird energy, like there's something going on in the planets and things like that. And sometimes there's a heavy circumstance that's going on in another part of the world that you're not part of individually, but you're part of collectively. We can't disassociate ourselves from the collective of Earth or the collective of all. So you might be just having a bad day because of that. And then you go and do something, and then that causes a ripple effect in those people around you. So if you notice what's going on in the energy, you might live your life a little bit differently. And most people don't know anything about that. half the time, I don't even realize. I just had a client yesterday who we ended up finding out that they were born on a day when an airline crashed and killed like 200 people. And that affected the hospital they were born in because there was a lot of chaos in the collective that day. And there was just like all this chaotic stuff going on, and just hospitals were filled all over the country, and everyone's picking up on that tragedy of the people who had passed in that circumstance. And so on the day she was born, she came in trauma because she had, they were just like, everybody around her was in trauma. And she didn't realize, and I didn't know, because I don't know until I do my readings with people, she didn't know that trauma of being born on a chaotic day had stayed with her throughout her life. And it was continuing to come up for her. And once she became aware of it, we were able to work through the healing of that. And people don't know stuff like this. Is why I love that you guys do this podcast. People do not know stuff like this. They don't know that the day they were born affects them, that the things that happened to them in childhood, like that everything is energy and everything's affecting you. And then you're carrying it around like rocks in a backpack until you start to awaken yourself enough to go searching for a new way of being. And then the answers will start to flow to you like, oh, something I've held and had happening in my life is because of this contract that I set as a soul, or this trauma that I had, or how I came in on what day I came in on. It all affects us every single day of our life. And that's why I love this work.
Yeah.
Even what you just said, even if the plane hadn't crashed, right? Like I love you. You said before, it's like dumping a puzzle onto the floor. Mm-hmm. Birth itself, right? We're all sitting there in this womb and we're like all protected and every need we have is met by the body. And then we come out of, we basically come through a portal, right? Like we are coming to this world through a portal. And there's no way that we're not impacted by that, right? Because immediately once we're out, everything becomes trauma because all our needs are not met the second that we have them, right? We have to cry, like whether it's bathroom, food, uncomfort, cold, hot, everything is a guessing game for the parents. I love that like the natural process of life is that you are a perfect puzzle and all your pieces got scattered right to start the game. And I think the things like, right, a hospital experience or a bad birth experience, I was pulled out by like clamps, you know, and like, how did that affect my subconscious,
yep,
right, that I don't even realize?
Yeah, and we really don't really talk about it that much in culture. I realize this as I've worked with a lot of functional medicine doctors, because, you know, that I've, all of my life circumstances, my puzzle pieces resulted in me getting sick, right? So when I was talking to my functional medicine doctors, they would ask me questions about like my birth or things, what kinds of, like how many different medications I had during childhood. Like, was I on steroids or antibiotics? I found out all the stuff I didn't know about myself. Beyond being a month early that like, you know, my lungs weren't fully developed. I'd had like tubes in my, like all these different things that happened when I was little in my health story that I had absolutely no idea. So ask, it's actually like that's a good prompt and a reminder to all of us to start those conversations, even with our families and our parents. Like, how did I come into this world? What was my childhood like? Laura, I don't know if you have anything else to speak on to that, but I know we're getting short on time and I really wanted you to be able to talk to us about the fact that everybody is actually a channeler and connected to those abilities and kind of demysticizing being a psychic, that we're all psychic.
Right. I try to do that. That's like my favorite topic all the time. Like I try to remind everybody that we're all channels, we're all psychics, we're all mediums. We just haven't ascended to the recognizing level of awakening that within ourselves. I literally got a book called Wisdom of the All. And in the chapter I was just reading yesterday, that's what it was talking about. Like it's just
a book. Sorry. Yeah. I want to talk about that too. So make sure you stress. This is Laura's book that she wrote through channeling, right?
Yeah. I've channeled four books and my books are called The All. So the all of everything, the all that is, and Wisdom of the All. And that's what one of my chapters, I think it was chapter 16 in Wisdom of the All. And it was just talking about that, how we all have these infinite abilities and it's just a matter of ascension. Now, are there some of us who are better at it? Well, yes, because some of us did say before we came and jumped into these bodies that I want to do this for a living. I'm going to write books. I'm going to write poetry or write music. And so it becomes a little bit easier because you sort of set it for yourself before you came here. But if you have the intention that you want to awaken that within you, then you absolutely have the ability to awaken it within you. You just have to continue to work at it. And so I do teach that. I teach classes on that and how to awaken those abilities. And that's why I call it infinite abilities. It's recognizing that we're all part of this infinite intelligence and we all have access to the same thing. And what I love talking about is how most people don't even realize that they are channeling as source, as one, as the collective. And so if you look at a movie like Star Wars, this whole theme of Star Wars is love versus fear. That's what Star Wars is all about. Fear is the Empire and love is the Force, right? So that's what the Force is. When the Jedis are using the Force, they're simply using the Force of love, the Force of energy that exists within all of us. And that's why I consume media that way. I try to see the message like This Is Us just wrapped up its series finale. And exactly what I said was going to happen from the very beginning is exactly what happened, because I just picked up on it energetically that we were going to actually see her crossing. Like we were going to see her when she passed. And that's what ended. Spoiler alert. It's been, hopefully it all been on, but, and they actually showed like her meeting with her crossed over loved one, her even seeing people that she knew still physically, who were still physically on Earth, how she came to and how she met up with her husband. And so, you know, I know that's the process because I work as a medium. And so I don't know if the person who wrote that show knows that they were channeling, but they were channeling. There's so many beautiful quotes written in movies that were just somebody unconsciously channeling. I think now you're going to see so much more of it because there's going to be people who are like us who already know, like we know we're channeling, and they're going to create media and TV and shows that are really going to speak to that. I think you're going to see more shows like The OA, if you haven't ever heard of that, or The Gift, which is another show on Netflix that are all about spirituality.
There's so many popping up. It's beautiful to see. And I love that reminder too, that like we, so much of what, you know, we consume is actually channeled. Like you said, art, media, like so much of media and music, you're in that state of flow and channeling something. Like you're tapped into, you know, when I find this when I'm speaking, when I'm writing, you know, in different areas, it's like I tap into something. It almost doesn't feel like me sometimes. Like you're, it's, you know, it's free flowing and stream of consciousness. And you don't have to, it's not like when you're just thinking sometimes where it's like you have to think before you speak. It's something that just flows out of you. So if you've ever had that experience in anything, you know, I think, you know, you've channeled, or I guess like one thing I still get confused on, and I've had a lot of different conversations, and I've done a lot of like psychics, you know, ability stuff myself. I'm obviously a Reiki master, and worked on developing those skills. In addition to having been open to them most of my life and confused by them growing up in a very religious household. But I'm still really confused about the difference between channeling versus tapping into your highest self. This came up in another podcast episode we did, with Amy Sikarski of Raise the Vibe Tribe. Do you have anything to offer on that?
So the way I would just, you know, and I, everything really comes from my books, and basically it's, so there's a lot of people who channel the individuals or a group. So Abraham from Law of Attraction, that's Esther Hicks channeling Abraham, a group of individual souls and beings. And then there's Seth, who Jane Roberts channeled back in the, I think in the late 60s, early 70s. There's the Pleiadians, which is like an alien thing. There's lots of different people who channel individually with those type of beings. But then there are people who can channel the collective, so the all. So that's why my book is called The All. So it's representing that there's only one mind, there's only one energy, and that energy splits itself among the infinite. And so we are a individual consciousness. We are a collective conscious of here on Earth. So our, you know, the laws and rules that we said yes to when we came to Earth. And then there is the consciousness of all, love, God, the universe, infinite, whatever your word for it is. A lot of people have different words for it. And as much as you are an individual consciousness, you are also the all. So you, all three of us are here having a conversation, but we all have the same mind. We all are pulling from the same mind. So when we're talking through this, we're pulling from that mind. We are the all pulling from that mind. So when people speak of their higher self, that can either mean you are in your allness, like your oneness, and you're speaking for all. But I think there's still a little bit of a disconnect with some people thinking that their higher self is still outside of the all. And so there's a quote in my book, and it says, there's a power outside of you and there's a power inside of you, and they are one and the same. So it's recognizing that your higher self is one with all. So you are one with all. You are one with that consciousness. And that's where we're channeling. That's where we're pulling all these wonderful quotes and ideas for movies and the conversations that we're having in the books that I wrote. So that's where I think there's a little bit of disconnect with your higher self. So there's like your oversoul, which is you, right? So there's a part of Corrine, which is her oversoul, but then there's a part of Corrine, which is also part of all. So you are an individual and a one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. There's a lot of different perspectives because Reiki also talks about the difference between like soul versus spirit and different levels and like the heavens. They're really just like a lot of different ways of talking about different levels of consciousness and I guess accessing different levels of consciousness.
Yeah. And you know what? It also depends on where you are in this ladder of ascension. So what you learn down here, you may resonate and understand it differently than as you continue the journey and then you get here and it may resonate differently. And then you get up here and you're like, oh, okay, I totally get it now. And so something that you read here, was it wrong? No, it wasn't wrong. It's just where you were in that ascended state. And then as you get up here, you'll learn different things and then you just keep going. And as I always say, guys, we're just kindergartners on this planet. There is so much more to learn and discover about our infinite source of all that we will not know until we fully cross completely over into our spirit world. So we're just learning, you know, and thank God we are. Because imagine if we weren't learning some of this stuff, how chaotic this planet would be even worse than it already is, right? Thank goodness we have these tools of transformation. Thank goodness we have Reiki masters and we're able to, you know, to get some of this information to help us through. So at least be willing to use the tools so that you can help yourself, even if you don't understand it fully and completely right now. Something you read today, you may read it a year from now again, and you're going to read it and go like, oh, that's what that meant. I didn't get that a couple of years ago. I totally understand that now. So always just keep picking yourself back up and keep going.
Laura, I know you have to go. So I was going to ask you for a last word, but I feel like you just gave us, unless there's something else you want to say, I just want to make sure we'll throw all this in the show notes too, but where can people find you, learn more about you, work with you? Where do they go?
So laurasaltman.com, you can find me there on how to work with me. I have my courses ongoing, my Infinite Awakenings and Infinite Abilities. So you can find me there and just keep getting back up every time you fall and continue your journey of ascension because you will find light and the spark of your own divinity.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great. You are such a beautiful soul and I appreciate this conversation so much.
All right. I got to run. I got to go.
Bye. before you stop our recording, I just want to say one thing that I think was so powerful. You know, when she was saying that, that like the word of the collective of the one and the all, right? Mm-hmm. We're an individual and we're separate. I think there's people have such a hard time with that. Like, how can we all be white? We all say it's like cliche to be like, we're all one. And the thing that I've gotten, something that came to me for like very simple logistical understanding of this is like, there's a cell in your body that's an individual cell, but yet it's not, it's part of you, right? It actually can't exist outside of you. You can't take that cell and like, it'll die. And it's kind of like, or even if we go even bigger, like our body parts, right? Or my arm, my right arm is my right arm. It's separate. It's itself a thing, right? You could remove it from me, but then it actually can't exist, but it exists as one with me. And it also exists independent. Like it can do things without the rest of me doing anything.
Yeah.
And it,
oh, sorry, go finish.
No. I think that's just so when you don't understand the idea of like, we're all one, that's how we're all one. And we're also individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I like that. That makes sense. I totally forgot what else I was going to say.
Well, and if your right arm, if we use this metaphor, like if my right arm does something that's bad, it affects the whole, right? Like if I cut myself on a piece of dirty metal and I get like, you know, bacteria, like then the whole of me is impacted, right? It's not just like it only affects my arm. I think that like when you and I are dealing with something, it's small, so it doesn't ripple out necessarily and affect the whole. But when like a whole country is dealing with something, that's like something serious that more ripples out and affects the earth. And whether we're aware of it or not, we're kind of all we do, on a subconscious level, we do all feel it.
Yeah. Well, we're really seeing that right now with the kind of culture that we have over the last mm-hmm. years and how much, you know, even like COVID, like it's between COVID and now, especially this war with Ukraine and Russia, it's impacting every part of our world. And we're seeing how these, you know, small pieces ripple out and affect every part of manufacturing, or I know everybody, I'm always saying, oh yeah, I can't get this particular thing anymore. Like there's certain products that we just can't get, or, you know, like just random foods that you can't find because one piece of the manufacturing, you know, chain was screwed up by these other events. And it's interesting to see how, you know, we think that we're all so separate almost, or at least, you know, you know, even like thinking about like different countries, it's like we are so intercommingled in every single way. And I've also been thinking and talking a lot in my corporate and one-on-one sessions about paying attention more to like, how are we the same? We all have this, we all have struggles. We all have fears for the future. And we all have desires. We all have the same desires. That's how we're the same. No matter what place we come from, and this sparked out of too, like some content I've been doing for Pride, and I've been thinking a lot about just how all these different levels of boxes that we put ourselves in all of these different areas that are happening in the world right now. And how it's funny because we actually just, we're on these tangents because we all actually just want to be loved. We all desire to feel safe. We all want to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And that's it. And the fears and the negative ripple effect that's happening is actually coming from everybody being in that exact same place of desiring love, safety, protection, validity, acceptance.
That was great. I'm glad we got to take a few minutes after this because, you know, Laura, we knew Laura had to run right at the end. But I'm glad we got to have a few minutes to kind of talk about this and wrap it up. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening. And I'm so glad we got to have Laura on here today. That was really powerful. And I think there was a lot. I got a lot of reminders about things, like she said, like we're the teacher and we're the student. So thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll put everything that you need to find Laura right in the show notes. And we'll see you next time on The Frequency Shifters. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Frequency Shifters. We really hope that you got some value, you learned something, and that there's something from this episode that you can take away and use in your life. Who are you thinking of right now that needs to hear this episode? Please share it with them. Share this on social media, subscribe and like and leave a comment. And please, if you have a comment or an idea or something that you want us to talk about or investigate, leave it online and we will go into those and bring you that information. Please like, share, and subscribe, and we will see you next time.